I started. Okay. So here is the setup that we consider. And we have a series of subcomplexes. These subcomplexes form a filtration. So we can start with Smith 1 of X. It is contained in Smith 2. These are kernels. So they, when you have iterations, the kernels increase. And sorry, it's not K, it's X. Here it is X as well. And the last thing, Smith P of X, it's just C of X.
Yes.
Right. Now, what is Smith 1? Smith 1 is the kernel of 1 minus T. So these are chains which involve simplices. Well, first of all, the chains which belong to F, simplices which belong to F, are contained there, because T doesn't change it. So 1 minus T annihilate each of them. Now, what about chains which are not in F? And then they become invariant for each simplex in X minus F. We have P copies of it, which are exchanged by T. So belonging of a chain to this kernel means that the coefficients everywhere are equal. And what we can do then, we can take in the X prime, in the quotient, we have just a single simplex. We take any chain here. Well, we exclude F, so it is from this pair. Take coefficient here, and map it to the sum over all orbit the simplices with the coefficient equal to this one. So we have, in other words, a map from Cx prime F to Smith 1 Xf. Map which maps each simplex to the sum of preimages of this simplex. Okay, pi inverse of sigma. So it's so-called transfer. And this is an isomorphism. It commutes with the boundary. So, in fact, what this means, it means that this Smith 1 is isomorphic to the sum of the chain complex of the fixed point set and the chain complex of the quotient space modulo F. So we have an isomorphism. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then we can make exact sequences out of this filtration. So for any pair of numbers K and L, assume that we have two numbers. K is starting from 1, K is less than L, and L is at most P. So then we have that Smith K is contained in Smith L. I skip here the arguments. The arguments are either X or XF or whatever. And we can factorize. We can factorize. We can consider the quotient. And this quotient is Smith L minus K. But okay. This is in a relative case. In absolute case, the quotient will be still relative because F is here and both here and there, and it will quotient out. There is really an isomorphism. How the isomorphisms look like. So take some chain from here, say C. What I know about this chain is that S to power L of this chain equals 0, right?
Yeah.
And now I quotient out it mod Smith K. Now let me take this chain to power L minus K. But chain considered mod SK.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a moment.
So it should also be zero. I see.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Right. I just map this C to that, and then if I raise it, so I take C and map it to S L minus K of C. Uh, No, it's the wrong thing. I have to do another. Of course, this is obvious. Let us take apply to this C s to power k, and I will get something which if I apply s to power l minus k of it, then I will get zero, because yes, then it will be just s to power l of s of c, and this is what I had there. And then certainly when I raise c to power k, if this c belongs to the branch, it will go to zero, if and only. So really we have this short exact sequence. This is an inclusion, Smith K to Smith L, and this, so this is not just the inclusion, and this is multiplication by S to power K, and it gives me Smith L minus K. However, if there was F here and there, then it would go to zero automatically, so it is relative orbits. Here it may be absolute or relative. So we have this exact short sequences of the compact. Okay.
Wait, can you explain why we have the conclusion just a relative?
I consider two of these complexes, this, yes, and that, the kernel, yeah, of s to power k and, yeah, kernel s to power l.
Yeah.
K here is less than l. So this kernel is contained there. So we have this inclusion, right?
Right, yeah.
Now, what is the quotient of it? The quotient of it may be identified as follows. Let us just apply, multiply elements of this kernel by s to power k. This multiplication, yeah, by s to power k annihilates the subcomplex. It is exactly the kernel of s to power k. Now, from any chain from Smith L, from any C, by multiplication by s to power k, I get something which being multiplied by s to power l minus k gives me zero, because it is this. And this is the definition of Smith. Now, there is a detail here. If my chain, my chain belong to F, or the simplex in F, of course, simplex of F is annihilated from both this and that, so it belongs to both of the subcomplexes. And here it goes to zero, because it is annihilated by kth power of s. So instead of the whole Smith of x, I get here a relative Smith of xf.
Why this is surjective?
Hmm?
Why this is a surjective multiplied by sk?
Say it again, please.
Why this is exact at the last term? Why it is subjective?
Because any element here can be obtained from there. What is this? So it is generated by simplices, right? Simplex, yeah, may belong either to F, or it may not belong to F. It may belong to X minus F. For those belonging to F, it is not here, because here I consider XF, mod,
yeah,
F. Yeah? So for simplices which are not in F, this action is free. So strictly increasing sequence of subcomplexes. Okay, if I have some element here, what does it mean? It means that s to power l minus k of this c equals zero. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably I have to explain this slightly in the other way. This is a fact about powers of 1 plus x. The various powers here in Zp of x. It's just about a polynomial thing. What is 1 plus x to power p minus 1? This times that is 0, we know this. That is divisor, zero divisor.
Yeah.
So this means that all the coefficients here are equal. What is going on when you multiply this polynomial by 1 plus x? So you have 1 plus a1x plus a2x squared plus 1, and then you multiply by 1 plus x. So you sum up have 1 plus a1, a1 plus a2, and so on. That's like in Pascal triangle. So this is just the next line in Pascal triangle. And this happens to be 0, this happens to be 0, and so on. Right? Oh, by the way, of course, it's not 1 plus x. It is 1 minus x. So you have to multiply, you have to take differences here. Right? And the fact that you have everywhere here zeros means that all these coefficients are equal. So 1 minus x to power p minus 1 is the following. 1 plus x plus x to square plus and so on plus x to p minus 1. Right?
Yeah.
It is naturally to expect, and probably I can give another more elegant proof by saying that, you know, 1 minus x to power p is 1 minus x times this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite familiar identity. Mm. And this is the same as 1 minus x to power p mod p.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this should be the same as that. But here was just direct checking. Another proof. So what? We have here a sort of duality. We have s to power k. And its kernel, and the kernel of x to power k is the same mod f as image of s to power p minus k. What I proved was special case of that when k equals 1. But this is a general fact.
Okay.
I just forgot about this. Let me see how to prove that. And really I seem to need this here. You asked me a good question about that. Why this is exact at this place? What is this? I just multiply by s to power k. I have this kernel, and I assume this, I can write that this is the image of s to power p minus l. Now I multiply it by sk outside of f. I multiply by s to power k and I get to the image of s to power p minus l plus k. And this is exactly that. Right. Right. I forgot to tell you lemma. I didn't look through, I didn't lecture. Didn't lecture Smith theory for quite a while. And there is this important lemma, this one, which I had to use in order to prove exactness at this term. So over F, all these Smith subcomplexes contain all simplices from F, no matter what. Therefore, for over F, we have just isomorphism here, and here we ignore F. So what I need to do, I need to prove this exactness for the free part, or rather over XF, over for the pair F XF. And then I have to rewrite this in that way. So I have here image P minus S to power P minus K. It is included to here. And by multiplication by S to power K, I get this. And by lemma, it is always the same thing over XF. Okay?
Okay.
Now, how to prove this? I have proven it for K equals 1.
So the argument in this lemma is XF. The argument in this lemma is XF, not X.
X is X space for T here. But the lemma is about just polynomials in over ZP. So we consider polynomials with coefficients which are elements which are integers mod p. Then, if you take x minus 1 minus x, we have checked that this is 0.
Yeah.
And then I claim that in this polynomial ring, we have always this identity. It should be obvious. At least I checked it for k equals 1.
Well, I don't think so. I think you should modular f on the left hand side.
Modular
f?
Yes, yes, modular f, because here we... So we consider Cx. What is Cx? It is a formal linear combination with coefficients with Zp. Coefficients are assumed all the time to be in Zp. Of simplices. For each simplex we have either it is belonging to F, and then the group does not act there. Or the group acts freely. So we can identify this as follows. This is C of X prime, the quotient. Wait. Rather to say like this. Here I tensor it with that, and let me be more accurate here. So we have the group ZP acting. And so ZP appears here twice. First as the group of operators, and then it is generated by T. Second, it's the coefficients. And what we have here, we consider all the time chains with coefficients in ZP. So we have that in X, that chains in X are modules over the ring ZP of ZP. Right? Here, this ZP is generated by T. But there is a relation. T to the power P is 1.
Yeah.
And now, how to get from this C of X prime? So in X, we have two parts. X minus F and F. X prime minus F and F are in X prime also. So C of X prime can be obtained as follows. For X minus F, it is just, you take X prime minus F, the quotient space, and on this quotient space, you take your chains with coefficients in ZP.
Wait, what is X prime again?
X prime is the quotient, is the order space.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then you have to tensor it with ZP of T. You have to lift it. So any chain with of course ZP coefficients here can be obtained from chain here, right? Plus chains in F with ZP coefficients, the action of T is trivial here. So algebraically, this picture looks like that, at least on the level of vector spaces on chains. I don't discuss now boundaries. With boundaries also, everything is very simple. But here it looks like that. So over X prime minus F over the in the complement of F, what we have really for each simplex, we have a copy of this group of this group algebra, ZP of T modulo X to power T to power P minus 1. That's why I can, instead of acting here, I can treat this purely algebraically. I just consider this polynomial, not polynomial, group algebra. In this group algebra, what I have? I have T minus X to power P equals 0. And I can consider the zero divisors, which are really powers of 1 minus x. So I claim that in this polynomial, well, not polynomial, but group algebra, I have a kernel of 1 minus x to power k equals image of 1 minus x to power p minus k. One inclusion is obvious if I take anything from the image of 1 minus x to power t minus k and multiply by 1 minus x to power k, then it would be in the image of 1 minus x to power p. And then it would become zero. So we have obvious inclusion like that. And we need to prove the opposite inclusion. So if we have whatever element which is annihilated by 1 minus x to power k, it can be presented in this way, as the image of 1 minus x to power p minus k. I have checked this for k equals 1. Or p minus 1. Yeah. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry for this delay. Let me postpone this to the next lecture. I will give you a proof of that, or you may take it as an exercise also and check
okay,
if it's correct. Of course, it is a purely algebraic fact and it is correct. But let's go ahead with the topology. So what I mean to use what was this for? It was for the consideration of the following sequence, exact sequence of complexes. We have this complex corresponding to K, complex corresponding to L, and the quotient is a complex corresponding to L minus K. It is of XF, and this is an epimorphism. So this is inclusion, and this is multiplication by S to power K. This is a pure algebra. Now, if I replace here X with X minus, with a pair XF, everything still will be okay. We will have the same kind of sequence. So we have the sequences of complexes. Complexes are new for this Smith theory. So they belong to Smith theory. They do not belong to usual topology for some exceptions. Namely, if L is P, then the Smith QL, okay, Smith QP of X is just the same as CQ of X. Now, another thing that we already discussed is that Smith 1 of X is the sum of CQ of F and CQ of X prime mod F. So these are two major things. And sometimes it allows to write everything in the traditional terms of topology, homology theory. Namely, if we consider P equals 2 and K equals 1, and L equals 2 again, then we have nothing but all these groups, all the classical groups. Yeah. And this is what we considered last time. So P equals 2 means that we consider involution, transformation of 2. L equals 2 gives me this homology of X. So the whole sequence then, well, I have to write also homology sequences corresponding to this short exact sequences of complexes, but it is more or less automatic. Okay, but at least for this situation, what is happening? We take Smith's homology of Smith K Q of X. Homology of Smith Q of X. I just write down this general sequence. Homology of Smith L minus K Q of X. And then we have the next Q, homology of Smith Q minus 1 K of X, and then it reproduces. Now, what is this? When K equals 1, then this is homology of X prime F plus homology of F. Now, this is homology of X. And now,
this is...
Okay, sorry. I made a mistake. It should be XF, where XF.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be X, it should be XF.
Yeah.
So this should be HQ of X prime F. And then this reproduces. It starts over again, but with dimension Q minus 1 of X prime F plus HQ of F. Okay. Now, but in the case when P is greater than 2, we have some sequences involving the classical homology and many more sequences which involve the Smith homology. So overall, sometimes it allows us to exclude, to eliminate Smith homology. Now, how it works? Let us denote by BR. The dimension of R dimensional homology. R of whatever y will denote be R of y with ZP coefficients, dimension over ZP. So it's Betti number. Betti number more.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
So did we prove last time the sum of Betti numbers of the fixed point is less or equal to the sum of Betti numbers of X?
I'm going to prove this now.
Okay.
In general case, let me formulate this. So I'm starting to prepare to formulation. So what really is a theorem. A general theorem looks like that. B star of, and by B star, I mean the sum of all BR, all R from zero to infinity. So this is a total Betti number. The total Betti number of F is at most the total Betti number of X.
Yeah.
In the situation that we consider. And this is what I started to prove last time and didn't finish.
Okay.
So how to do this? By the way, this can be proven together with another statement, a little bit more precise statement. For any Q, for any integer, BQ of X prime F plus the sum of BR of F for R starting from 0 to infinity is at most the sum, similar sum for X. So when you take Q equals negative one or whatever negative number, then you will get from this that. Okay? Now let us do this. So I will use two of these sequences, but infinitely many times. Let us write down the sequence with k equals 1 and l equals p. And another time, another sequences will be k equals p minus 1, l equals p. So we will have a couple of sequences which we will use. Okay, so the first one, k equals 1, l equals p. So we take homology. Smith homology 1, q, x to q-dimensional homology of the whole X. This is that term, right? Because L equals P, this is just usual homology of X. Then the next will be homology, Smith homology, correspondent to P minus 1 of XF, and then everything is repeated. But probably here I want to step back here. Homology, Smith homology of dimension Q plus 1, P minus 1 of XF. And this thing I have to replace with HQ of F plus HQ of X prime F.
Yeah.
And from here I can write down that BQ of F plus BQ of X prime F, not greater than BQ of X plus, and here I have this dimension of H Smith P minus 1, Q plus 1, X. Okay? Now let me write down the other sequence. Okay. So here I start with H. This time it is Smith 1, 2 minus 1. What Smith 1 is homology. Oh, yes, it's Q plus 1. Q plus 1. Q plus 1 of X prime F. It goes to this time it is Smith Q, sorry, the P minus 1. P minus 1 Q of X. Then it goes to HQ of X. And then it repeats. Now, what can I say about this thing in the middle? This group splits into H Smith P minus 1 Q of XF and the homology of F. It is so for any really for any K for any Smith group of X, it can be taken away HQ of F. And for this, we can write down similar inequality. So BQ of F plus the dimension of Smith of H Smith P minus 1 Q of XF is at most the BQ of X plus BQ plus 1 of X prime F. Now I will need this inequalities alternatively. Say for even Q, I take this one. For even Q, I take this one. And for odd Q, I take this and sum up. And look, these terms which I do not like cancel out. They appear on different sides of this inequality and they cancel out. When I sum up everything, what I will get is from BQ of X, I have B star of F, BQ of F. It is in each of these inequalities. On the right hand side, I have in HQ, I have BQ of X, so overall it will be B star of X. And this the dimension of Smith group appears here and there with the same dimension. Here it was dimension Q plus 1. Here it is dimension Q, but this is the next Q. So they are paired in this way. And this one thing also appears in two lines next to each other. And they cancel out. So overall we have this. Now if you will start summation, not from zero, but from some level and go up, then we will obtain this inequality. Okay? Now, if from the very beginning we would have that X is a homology sphere, then this thing, the right hand side, is 2. And yeah. It is located at B0 and Bn, where n is the dimension of this homology sphere. And the left hand side should be then be B0 plus something, but this something cannot be greater than n.
Yeah.
So it will be Bk with k less than n. And this means that this is a homology sphere of dimension k. It may be B0 also.
I think you should prove torsion free, something like that.
Sorry?
You need also to prove torsion free, something like that.
I have to use also congruence, that the Euler characteristic, from the same sequences it follows, that the Euler characteristic of X is the Euler characteristic of F plus P minus 1 times the Euler characteristic of X prime F. Or rather to say the Euler characteristic of X minus the Euler characteristic of F is P times the Euler characteristic of X prime minus the Euler characteristic of F. From the simplicial point of view, it is absolutely obvious because over each simplex from X prime minus F, we have exactly P simplices in X. So you just of the same dimension, so you just multiply the Euler characteristics. And it follows that Sorry. This equality is slightly wrong. All right, it shouldn't be. It should be just P times the Euler characteristic. It's relative Euler characteristic. Relative Euler characteristic is the difference Euler characteristic of X prime minus Euler characteristic of F. And this is that equality. This follows from the same sequences. Therefore, it cannot happen that here it is 1 and here it is 2.
Yeah, we know the dimension is fixed, but we don't know if there is any torsion part about a homology group.
Oh yeah, this is not about torsion. This is about homology mod P.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's a field.
As for torsion, it is quite chaotic. There may be different examples.
Okay.
Probably I have to tell you about some examples. My examples are about other inequality. The inequality. So there are many inequalities which you can extract from Smith sequences. In particular, you can estimate the homology of X from the homology of the quotient space. Why it is useful? So there is an equality like this plus p minus 1 times this r of x prime f. Because quite often space with action of Zp comes as follows. You start with the quotient. So you take a sphere. In this sphere, you take a knot. You consider a covering of the complement. And then you complete this to get a branch covering. So this is something like that. So you have a space which is mapped to the sphere in the following way. Over the knot you have a homeomorphism, and on the complement of a knot you have a covering, cyclic covering. And this space is branch coverings of knots are used for obtaining many results from about knot. It is invariant of knot. Homology of this X comes as invariant of knot. So from Smith theory, we can estimate the homology with coefficient which is the order of covering. Say for the simplest covering appears when you take twofold covering. The Z2 homology of twofold covering is the same as the homology of sphere. Oh, yes, you have to take into account the knot. If the knot is knot, not link, if it consists of a single component, then this is also a homology sphere. However, it is with Z2 coefficients, with coefficients different than that. Homology may be quite large, and the estimation is a difficult problem. Say, if you take trefoil, two-fold branch covering of it is length space with homology group Z3. Mod 2, it is 0. But it is not 0 mod 3. If you take higher covering spaces, it will be also some interesting three manifolds. But let me consider six-fold covering. For six-fold covering, the homology group of this covering is Z plus Z. No, just Z. For covering, it is Z. So it is not homology sphere with any group of coefficients, modulo anything. Why? Because six is not prime. So Smith theory, which gives estimation of the covering of homology of the covering space or branch covering space, this works for prime, but not for non-prime. When you have action of group Z6, everything is broken. So it's not that the theory was not developed. It means that the theory cannot be developed as counter examples. Well, apparently I have used all my time today. I have still something to fix by next time. So I apologize for this. I didn't tell this story for about 30 years. So I forgot some of them. And the place where I checked in preparation contained only proof, only statements, not proofs. So I missed this. I forgot that it is needed, and I have to repair next time. But this is a purely algebraic statement. This is the statement that I told you about. Okay, that's all. Yes.
So I just curious about what. So what will be the six covering look like, or you just. Just say that there exists a sixth covering because just from the group.
Tell me, please, repeat.
I mean, so topologically, what will be the sixth covering look like?
The sixfold covering. It's an interesting issue. First of all, this trefoil knot is fibered.
Yeah.
It means that the complement of it is fibered with fiber tors. Mm-hmm. And the monodromy is Z6 in this case. So when you consider six-fold covering, it is just direct product of tors. By circle, but then you have to contract one circle there, the meridian, the lifting of meridian. I cannot tell you exactly what is this, but it's first of all, I'm sure that this is Seifert fibered space because the complement of trefoil is fibered with fiber circle, and this vibration is lifted. I don't remember exactly what is this. I guess that it should be the Seifert space with three exceptional fibers and with number zero there. But I have to check. I don't know that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a nice weekend.